because like I preached this morning, trouble most likely is on the way. Every time the Lord gives us victories, there's usually Amalek waiting for us. There's usually trouble with the brethren or Esau or however that rolls. But look at Judges chapter 8, if you would. And I'm going to read verse 4. Just verse 4, and then we'll pray. Bible says in Judges 8, 4, and he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of, 4, not 5. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. Now, of course, this is Gideon, and they're just about over with the battle where the Lord destroys the Midianites. But I want to draw your attention here tonight. There's 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. Brother Jared, would you ask the Lord's help in the preaching tonight? Amen. Now, I know there would be a couple people that really wanted to be here, but I'm thankful for the crowd that we have tonight because I 100% believe that everyone that is here tonight wants to be here, and you all were instrumental in this. So this applies to you. This really is for you. This is handpicked. This is carved right out of the turkey there. But here in Judges chapter 8, the victory over the Midianites is almost complete, as many of you know the Bible story. And Gideon has seen the supernatural power of God, and now Gideon is doing, if I could say it like this, Gideon is doing what America no longer has the stomach to do. And he has caught them with the element of surprise. He has whipped the daylights out of them, and now he's pursuing them, and eventually he will annihilate them. Amen? And that is one reason that Israel was able to subdue and just literally annihilate the heathen that God told them to go drive out. And like I said, America no longer has the stomach. So every time America goes to battle, and America is not Israel, I get that. But every time it's like America has a battle, it's like the playground, you know, effect. You know, you punch the kid in the nose until he falls on the ground and then you walk away. Well, Gideon's be like, I'm going to punch you until you're dead and then I'm going to bury you. That's Gideon, right? And that's how the Lord does business. That's not the message, but just something I pointed out here for a second. But in verse 4, I want you to see an incredible panoramic picture by the Holy Spirit of God that really describes spiritually the life of the child of God who's yielded his body to the Lord for service. There were 300 men, they were faint, and they were still pursuing the enemy. And I say this because it was brought to my mind as we try to close this thing down and everyone's slap wore out. I think the passage fits tonight. I believe most of you are faint, yet pursuing. I want to give you something tonight that hopefully will help you this week as we try to pursue what God wants us to continue doing with our lives on the heels of this youth rally. So let me say this first of all, just a few thoughts. And if we get out early tonight, I don't think you'll be disappointed. I'm not going to wear you out. When it's done, I'll be like a dryer, like a washer, and I won't go through the spin cycle again. Amen? But first of all, I want you to see this in the passage. Don't forget to feed yourself tonight and this week. Look at verse 5. Don't forget to feed yourself. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna of kings of Midian. What I want you to see is, I just want you to remember that you need to feed yourself spiritually this week. It's been a good weekend. But if you don't forget to feed yourself, it's not going to go as planned. I just want to encourage you to not forget to feed yourself. You see, if you don't refuel, you end up limiting your ability to minister to anybody. I mean, it's really important that you eat. It's like the airplane theology. You've heard airplane theology before, right? When that little metal tube is falling out of the sky at breakneck pace and the little oxygen masks come down, you can't help anybody else until you put your own mask on. So let me encourage you. You've done a lot of ministering this week. Don't forget to feed yourself this week. Don't forget to take time and partake of the fresh bread from heaven. Open your Bible like has been preached so many times. And sometimes it's so easy to be the Martha, amen, always ministering, always busy, always busy. And now the ministering is going to come to a stop, and if we're not careful, we'll just forget to sit down and have a good fresh meal around the Word of God. You see, when you stop eating physically, your tummy grumbles. But what I've noticed is when you stop eating spiritually, you start to grumble. So I don't know, maybe if that's an indicator, you start grumbling this week, is it, have I gotten enough to eat this week? Have I gotten enough to eat? Just simple stuff. Don't forget to feed yourself tonight. I would even go home tonight if I could and just maybe grab a good spiritual snack. Why? Because it seems right now it's really good no matter where you turn. Amen? Lord's really opened our eyes. He's really heightened our spiritual awareness. So you know what? I don't think you're going to be guilty of gaining too much spiritual weight, so go ahead and get an extra meal. Amen? Let me give you this in number two. Don't forget that all this fighting you've done is going to make you faint. Don't forget that all this fighting you've done is going to make you faint. Verse 5, you see Gideon, what he says to that town. He asks for food. He says, for they be faint. At the end of the day, after a weekend like this, and after everything you've put out, you're not only tired physically, but you are tired spiritually. You're absolutely wore out. And it's hard to believe after on the tail end of a great meeting and a great conference like this, but the truth of the matter might be is that some of us here tonight might actually need a little bit of reviving. I know it's hard to fathom that, isn't it? You're like, surely, with all the preaching we heard, that we're all up in the third heaven and the volume is all the way up and doing our very best. No, it's just what it is. When you serve the Lord, you get tired, right? Can I show you this? Look at Judges chapter 15. Same book. You got to realize that you were the ministering tool of the hand of God this weekend. And while you were able to get a glimpse of glory and see what God was doing, it had a taxing effect on you, your mind, your body, and your spirit. So that's why I'm trying to encourage you to remember to eat and remember that you're pretty faint and you might need a little bit of reviving. Judges chapter 15, of course, is the account with Samson. Now, if you think of Samson in the Bible, you don't think of a little weakling. You think of a pretty strong fellow. And despite Samson's fleshly problems, Samson was a mighty judge for the Lord. And let's just say he got down to business and he got things done. I like Samson. I really do. I mean, he had trouble with women, but hey, you know, some people do. It's what it is. But the fact of the matter is this. You know, he got down to business and he was used mightily for God for 20 years. We forget that because we only got a few segments in the Bible about Samson. But look at Judges 15. Excuse me, I'm a little faint here. chapter 15, verse 14. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. I'm going to ask for a replay. This thing is fantastic. My mind is always going crazy here. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose. Can you see the picture? I can just see him. He's like, it all breaks. He's like, y'all dead now. You know, I mean, isn't that cool? I think it's cool anyway. All right, look at verse 15. And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it. Here's a dead bone of a donkey here. He grabs that thing and he's going to get right to it and slew 1,000 men therewith. I mean, who was counting? He's like, one, two, three. I mean, he's like double kill, right? Triple kill, you know? And look at this, 16, and Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. He counted. I mean, it would have taken me all day to count to 1,000. Now look here, 17. This is what I want you to see. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called the place Ramathlehi. And he was sore thirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall in the hand of the uncircumcised? You see that? God used him to do something mighty, and now he's ready to die because he needs reviving. Now look at 19. But God, clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, so now the weapon becomes a place of water. Just like your Bible. It's a weapon, but it's a well of water. And there came water there out, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof, and Hakor, which is in Lehi unto this day, and judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. I'm telling you, you can be used mightily for God. And right at the very climax or the apex of your service where God's working mightily, you're ready to keel over spiritually. And that's what I just want to caution you about today, that you don't leave this place thinking that everything's okay and you just actually might need a drink because you're faint. Because you're faint. Let me show you this, Mark chapter 6. The disciples with Jesus Christ, of course, Jesus Christ, 100% man, 100% God. But it just got so busy that they were famished. They were wore out. And what undertaking you did, if you look around, were just a small group of people and you, how do I say it? You undertook and you catered an event that served at least 100 people. Not just like one event, but you're talking Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday afternoon, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, right? And Sunday morning. And then you saw them off. Oh, by the way, and then you went and you cleaned the church. So I know you're tired. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Look what the Lord says to his disciples. He knows they're tired. He knows they're faint. He says, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Why? Many are coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. I'm not sure. I'm sure everyone ate a little bit this weekend. Probably wasn't always the most healthy or regimented of schedule. It might take you a few days to get back on schedule, right? But here's the thing. If you look in verse 32, what had to happen is they had to get along with the Lord. And notice what that word is, privately. You see that in verse 32? I'm just saying this. You might need to take some time privately with the Lord to revive, to get your spiritual strength back. He said, oh, I'm good. And maybe some of you are good and you can go in the strength of this and woohoo and hold the fort and I'm coming and victory in Jesus and, you know, blessed be the tie that bind and all the rest of that stuff. And some of you be like, I just feel like I got run over by a train. So you might need to go back home and get a bite to eat, get a little glass of water. You see what I'm saying? And spend a little bit of time privately with the Lord Jesus Christ. Says in Matthew 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What we all need is just a good night's sleep. And we need to learn to rest in the Lord this week. And the preaching about spiritual growth has been so spot on because it reminds us that we can't force the growth. And the growth that takes place is because we're just making sure that our heart is the right soil preparation. And we make sure the ground is tilled. We make sure the weeds are out. We make sure it's got the fertilizer. It's got the mineralizers and all that stuff. And it makes sure it has the water of the Word. And in His timing, then He grows us. And that's what we need to remember. Don't forget, Christian, that all this fighting, and it's been a fight, not a fight with each other, but it's been a fight with your flesh, right? Tired, over-caffeinated, under-caffeinated, not know whether it's caffeination or irritation, right? It's been a fight. And you're trying to understand young people and older people and you know. Don't forget that all that fighting, your flesh and fighting, don't think for 30 seconds the devil was really happy with what you did. But all that fighting will make you faint. And once you get revival, what do you do? Well, you just go back to tilling the ground of your heart. Just go back to watering the soil of your heart. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3 and Hosea 10, 12. You know what these prophets tell Israel? You know what their problem was? They just needed to break up the fallow ground. And many times when we serve the Lord and we get involved, we do these things, we expend a lot of energy, not only physically but spiritually, we get dry and then the ground of our heart gets hard. Because later after the feeding of the 5,000, which is akin to Mark chapter 6, which we just went, their hearts were hardened because of the miracle. So don't forget that all this fighting will make you faint. Let me give you number three here. Don't forget who you follow. Don't forget who you follow. Judges chapter 8, again, verse 5. Gideon, of course, is talking to the men of the city, and he says, unto the people that follow me. Now look, Gideon's a type of Jesus Christ, and I know you know this, but Jesus Christ is our leader. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't follow an association. We don't. We don't follow a duplicity or a multiplicity of churches. Now, we're independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, sin-kicking, devil-hating Baptists, amen? And we got together with some other like-minded churches that are also independent, meaning they don't tell us what to do and we don't tell them what to do. And you notice with the preaching all had a threaded theme. And there was no competition in the preaching. And there wasn't one guy getting up and taking shots at another guy getting up and taking shots at the guy. It was a threaded theme all the way through. But our leader is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, He's the captain of our salvation. Don't forget who you follow this week. I'm excited to see what God's doing through our little church here. And I don't say that patronizing. Because let me tell you what, when God's in it, it's amazing what can happen. Ephesians 5, chapter 1, the Bible says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. You know what we did this weekend? We just followed what the Lord wanted us to do. That's all we did. This week, fight the urge to follow anything or anyone else but Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here's a great mindset as a Christian. Not only not to follow anything or anyone else, but there's a lot of individuals out there that love to just be in the know about everything. Let me show you this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, 2, for I determined not to know anything among you. This is the Apostle Paul, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, Paul, he was a very intelligent man. Matter of fact, the Lord used him to write the passage of Scripture that says, not many wise, not many mighty, right? Not many masters. And in the Christian life, there's very few people with high IQ, and I'm not being funny when I say that. There's very few Albert Einstein Bible-believing Christians. Usually we're just about, average. But that's who God uses. And he says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know what I saw this weekend? I saw a handful of people, Christians that loved the Lord, were serving the Lord, and all they knew is they wanted to please the Lord. And everything they're doing is about the Lord. And everything they're doing is about this youth rally. And everything they're doing is about, are you okay? Can I get you anything? I had people all the entire time, Pastor, you need anything? You need anything? Can I help you? Can I get you anything? And I'm like, no, 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 thanks, no, no, no. I'm good. Well, a man that follows Jesus Christ, that's who we are. Now you follow Jesus Christ, that's Ephesians 5:1. And you can follow the preacher if he follows the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 11:1. And you go over to 1 Thessalonians 2:14, you can follow the church, this church, when it follows the Lord Jesus Christ. Three things you can follow, but I wouldn't make Facebook one of them. Let me give you number four. Now, don't forget this. Don't forget, Christian, that we are still pursuing. He says, faint, yet pursuing. Remember, there's 300. We're still pursuing. Judges 8, verse 5 says, and I'm pursuing after. That word pursuing means chasing after, hastening after to overtake, continuing. Well, you know what we're doing? Conference is over. Youth rally is over. You're tired. I'm tired. Probably hungry, thirsty. Half of you probably have to hydrate. I know you are. You're just going to go home. You got cotton mouth. You're going to drink Gatorade and Pedialyte and water and all the rest of that stuff because you drank pop all weekend or something like that. But we're still pursuing. This thing ain't over. You see what we had? We had a really nice training exercise. really nice. It was like a special barracks meeting. And the Lord was real to us. Look at Philippians chapter 3 real quick. Don't forget, Christian, we're still pursuing. We're still pursuing. There's kind of like a temptation to go home and just let everything go. Oh, thank the Lord that's over. And just like drop everything for a week. And then you find yourself in the slough of despond or upset or mad or angry or cantankerous. And you and the wife are fighting, or you and your brothers and sisters are at each other's throat. But look, just remember, we're still pursuing. That means you got to keep your guard up. You got to still be sober. You got to still be vigilant. You still got to walk circumspectly. All right, Philippians chapter 3, look at to verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. There it is. Paul's pursuing. He's like, you know what? I ain't arrived yet, and I ain't perfect yet, so I'm still getting after it. That's what he's saying. He says, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And Paul followed after the gospel of Jesus Christ his entire life. He never quit. What a great opportunity that we just got through. I'm just saying, look, we're still pursuing. It's not over. The special barracks meeting's over. We're still pursuing. Galatians 6:9, just listen to these verses real quick. You don't have to turn there. The Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You see what I mean? Let us not be weary in well-doing. I'll give you one more. Here's the right pressure. A lot of pressure was put on this meeting. You say, oh no, it's a great spirit. No, I'm not talking about between each other, but we put a lot of pressure and we put a lot of emphasis, and we told you and gave you opportunities to give and prepare and be a part and help clean the building and help fix the building, and that'll be just until Jesus comes home. But anyways, Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We put a mark out there and said, look, this is what I believe the Lord wants us to do. And you know what y'all did? You got your, well, you know your H&K sniper rifle, and you dialed in youth rally. And you put in your ammunition, and you got your sighted in, and everyone just started pulling the trigger on it. And we pressed toward the mark. Made the mark, and you hit the target. That's a blessing. Don't forget, though, we're still pursuing. We're still pursuing. I'm almost done. Don't forget here, number 5, that the odds will always be stacked against us. The odds will always be stacked against us this side of eternity. Back to Judges chapter 8, I want you to look at verse 10. I'm almost done here, but I want to leave you with a couple thoughts. Don't forget that the odds are always going to be stacked against the Bible-believing Christian. Judges chapter 8. And I say that so you will learn to understand and better understand the hardness and the difficulty that goes with serving the Lord. There's some reason that some of these other groups out there can go and they can just snap their finger and they've got unlimited supply of funds and unlimited supply of worker. But God takes a handful of people, just like I'm reckoning in my mind how many started off with Gideon. It was 22,000, and then it was down to 10,000, and then it was down to 300. And the Lord's like, yep, I'll save them by 300. And you other birds can go to the house. That's what I see here. I see 300 people. I'm a visionary. I see the 300 right here doing the work of 22,000. Now look at this thing in Judges chapter 8, verse 10. Bible says, now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their hosts with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of all the hosts of the children of the east. For there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. Did you get that math problem? That means of the Midianites and the children of the east that banded together against Gideon, there's 135,000. And you know what's left? 15,000. 300 against 15,000. But it was 300 against 135,000. Ain't that cool? Just remember, the odds are always stacked against you this side of eternity. In Judges chapter 7, verse 3, Gideon's men went from 22,000 to 10,000 to 300 in chapter 7, verse 7. And here in Judges chapter 10, verse 10, 15,000 remain out of 135,000. When Gideon squared off with Midian, it was 300 against 135,000. You know what the odds of that are? You ready? 450-1. I'm showing you in the Christian life, those are your odds. Now, before you get too hard on your brother that don't make it through the battle, you listening? 450-1. I'm being real with you. There's a lot of your brethren that are still your brethren, but they're the 10,000 and they're the 22,000 and they didn't make the cut. And I'm telling you, you made the cut. You better thank the Lord for that. And God used you. But the odds are always stacked against you. If you surrender and serve God through this local church, you will always be the minority. Always be the minority. A surrendered servant that serves the Lord through a Bible-believing local church is an unheard animal in 2023. I understand there's still 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Amen. But the odds are stacked against you. Let me show you the right attitude here. 1 Samuel chapter 14. These are a couple of my favorite passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. See, inside of me, I never was a military man. I wanted to, but I just never pursued it. But the more Bible I read, I can see the second advent. If the Lord will let me come back, I'll be hacking heads. Amen. 2 Samuel, look at chapter 14, verse 6. I want you to see that even though the odds are stacked against you, I want you to see what the Lord has to say about this. I'm sorry, 1 Samuel. That's not what we want there. Okay, let's go to 1 Samuel 14. 1 Samuel 14, 6. I want you to see what Jonathan says here. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." Isn't that good? He's like, let's take them. I mean, if the Lord wants to, he can whoop them. And if not, he can whoop us. It don't matter. I mean, he really believed in what he was doing. I read that, I get excited about that stuff. Look at this one here in 2 Samuel chapter 10. Here's another one. About 20 years later, 2 Samuel chapter 10. And pick this thing up in verse 7. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 7. Bible says, "And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering in of the gate, and the Syrians of Zobah and of Rehob and Ishtob and Maacah were by themselves in the field." Verse 9, "When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians." Like he grabbed all the Navy SEALs and was like, "Ooh, wow, we're going to get some." And we put them right in the front line, right? The best fighters he put right beside him. He said, "We're leading the charge." All right, verse 10, "And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai, his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, 'If the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good.'" Now, that's a great attitude of a soldier. You know what I saw this weekend? No one was hacking off heads, but I saw this person helping that person, turn around helping this person, helping that person. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord did what seemeth good. Isn't that a blessing? And I'm telling you what, the odds will always be stacked against you as a Bible-believing servant of God. But the Lord can save by many or few. You are the minority, and the odds are always against you. It's always the 300 that God uses. But listen, but when God's in it, he can do whatever he wants. Let me give you this one, and we're done. Don't forget this one. Judges chapter 8, verse 13. I just want to remind you tonight that the battle's almost over. The battle is almost over, and you're almost there. Judges chapter 8, verse 13. Now, if nothing else excites you tonight, this should excite you, because I don't know about you, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get out of this popsicle stand called Earth and spend an eternity in heaven. I've had enough of it here. I've got kids. None of them are married yet. God help them. Amen. You know, and maybe one day have grandkids and they got to grow up in this popsicle stand. I'm ready to go. Judges chapter 8, look at verse 13. And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle before the sun was up. Before the sun was up. You see that? Now, Gideon here, what he's doing is he's picturing the tribulation before the battle of Armageddon. But in type, the sun coming up, that's a picture of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the second coming of Jesus Christ has two parts. The first part's the rapture of the church. And the second part, that's the revelation of Jesus Christ to this earth. And this battle in type takes place somewhere in the middle, and I'm not preaching mid-trib, I'm just saying the battle's almost over, amen? The sun's almost coming up. Look at Matthew chapter 14, we're just about done here. Matthew chapter 14. Remember when their disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee? Look at this. The battle is almost over. And you know what? That battle was over before the sun came up. Now look at this thing in Matthew chapter 14. I'm telling you, Christian, we're getting close. I mean, we're closer now than we've ever been. I heard one brother talk to me today. He said, man, he said, Pastor, I ain't watched the news in forever. He said, I watched the news for 10 minutes and he said it ruined my day. Amen. That's the truth. Matthew chapter 14, look at verse 25. Bible says in verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. So you see where we're at? It's just time to get out of here. The battle is almost over. You see, Gideon, that battle is won, and he's back before the sun comes up. And the sun comes up in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, when the sun, the S-O-N, arises with healing in his wings. And Romans chapter 13, verse 12, the Bible says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. I'm telling you, we're almost there. I'm trying to encourage you. What a wild weekend. But the battle's almost over. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, you know what it says? The day of Christ is at hand. Don't forget the battle is almost over. And if we're not going to forget the battle is almost over, you know when it gets hardest to fight? The darker the night gets. That's why Paul said to Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. The hard times are going to increase, aren't they? Not only that, but he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You know what it's like to walk in the night and get all tangled up and stuff? You ever try to make a midnight bathroom run without turning lights on? I'd put you in a nursing home some nights. Amen. I mean, you've walked that path I don't know how many times, and just someone leaves a chair out, and you Bruce Lee that thing across the kitchen, you know what I mean? and your shin swells up like a melon. And you're like, I didn't even know I had it in me. And the chair's like, I didn't know I had it in you either. But you're supposed to endure hardness as the battle goes on. No man that warreth entangleth himself. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, you know what Paul says right before he goes out? And he's our apostle. He says, I have fought a good fight. Let me tell you what. As your pastor, I commend you for this weekend. And if we had to go out of here today, you fought a good fight. Now do me a favor. Go home and get something to eat. Take your time with the Lord. And go ahead and get yourself revived. Amen? All right, let's stand and be dismissed.